alleged 165 Mantler's crypto Ponzi mastermind charged after Fiji deportation. U.S. federal prosecutors have charged Edward Zimbardi, the alleged operator of a crypto scheme that took in roughly $165 million from investors after he was deported from Fiji to face the case. The charges, reported on August 18, 2026, accuse Zimbardi of collecting cryptocurrency from thousands of people under the promise of steady returns and then losing more than $34 million through failed trading before the operation unwound. The structure described by prosecutors follows a familiar pattern. Investors sent crypto in expectation of consistent yield, and payouts to earlier participants were funded not by trading profits, but by fresh deposits from newer participants. That is the defining mechanic of a Ponzi scheme, and it holds together only while inflows keep climbing. When deposits slow, the gap between promised balances and actual assets becomes impossible to hide. The deportation that ended the run Zimbardi was returned to U.S. jurisdiction from Fiji, an island nation that has increasingly appeared in cross-border enforcement stories. Deportation, rather than a full extradition proceeding, often moves faster when a person lacks legal standing to remain in the host country. For anyone tracking crypto fraud enforcement, the detail that matters is momentum. U.S. authorities are willing to pursue operators across borders and coordinate with jurisdictions that a few years ago might have offered a longer runway. That reach has grown as chain analysis has matured. Crypto transactions leave a permanent public record, and once investigators identify the wallets tied to a scheme, tracing the flow of funds through exchanges and off-ramps is a documentation exercise rather than a guessing game. The technology that fraudsters use to collect money is the same technology that later maps their movements. Separating the $34 million loss from the headline, the reported $34 million in trading losses is worth separating from the $165 million headline. In many of these cases, the operator does gamble a portion of investor funds on real positions, and those bets frequently lose. The remainder typically goes to redemptions for earlier investors, personal spending, and the marketing needed to keep recruitment alive. The precise breakdown in Zimbardi's case will come out in court filings, but the shape is consistent with prior prosecutions. For investors, the practical lesson is about custody. Sending crypto to a third party who promises to manage it means handing over control of the private keys, and at that point, the balance shown in an app is a claim, not an asset you hold. If the counterparty is insolvent or fraudulent, that claim can evaporate. This is the same counterparty risk that surfaced in exchange collapses, and it is the core argument for spending from your own wallet rather than parking funds with an operator you cannot audit. Reading the warning signs. Guaranteed or unusually smooth returns are the clearest tell. Legitimate trading produces volatile results, and any product that pays a fixed high yield regardless of market conditions is either subsidizing losses from somewhere or paying old investors with new money. Pressure to recruit, opaque strategy descriptions, and difficulty withdrawing are the standard follow-on symptoms. The distinction between a fraudulent yield product and a regulated financial tool matters for how people use crypto day to day. A stablecoin card that lets you spend USDC directly, or a card that pays cashback rewards on transactions you are already making, generates its value from a defined mechanic you can verify: a merchant fee split, a network rebate, a published rate table. A scheme that promises to multiply a deposit through secret trading offers no such transparency, and the returns have to come from somewhere the operator will not disclose. Enforcement is catching up to the on-chain trail. The Zimbardi case adds to a run of U.S. actions against large crypto fraud operators, and the cross-border element signals that fleeing offshore is a weaker shield than it once was. Prosecutors now pair traditional financial investigation with blockchain forensics, and jurisdictions from the Pacific to the Gulf have shown willingness to hand suspects back. For everyday crypto users, the takeaway is not that enforcement will make them whole. Recovery in Ponzi cases is usually partial at best, and it arrives years later. The protection that actually works is upstream. Keep control of your own assets. Treat any fixed yield pitch with suspicion, and verify the mechanic behind any return before you send funds.